It probably wasn't on your calendar, but this is Banned Books Week, a yearly observation of the ongoing efforts of some people to prevent other people from reading certain things. This is the 34th year it's been happening, explains James LaRue, director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom. He traces its origin to a book fair in Anaheim back in 1982.
They rounded up some books that they knew had been frequently challenged, where challenged is a formal attempt to have a book removed or restricted from a library. They put that in the center of the exhibit hall and surrounded it with yellow police tape and put them in a cage. And people went, oh gosh, what's going on here? Because there is nothing that captures somebody's attention like saying, you can't read this.
But this kind of censorship is nothing new. In fact, Will Beatty, Dean of Libraries for SRJC, says books were being banned even before Gutenberg invented the printing press.
In the Renaissance, what's known as the Bonfire of the Vanities, where a particular monk in Florence got control of Florence. They burned large numbers of private libraries. He censored large numbers of expressions of ideas. 3 years later, he was no longer in vogue, and he was burned at the stake. The problem with censorship in general is that the idea or values that you hold, when you want to use government to enforce those values onto other people, you have to recognize that the swing of history will eventually be against you and your ideas will be censored.
Those who oppose book banning and other forms of censorship usually see it as punitive. But those who are doing it, Beatty says, tend to see themselves as doing something honorable and positive.
People often start off with the idea that they are helping society or helping someone protect them. But in the judging or prejudging of a material for someone else, you're also telling them they can't do something. So censors often try to use government institutions, libraries, school boards are very commonplace where these battles are fought, to challenge what's in a library or challenge reading list, curriculum, those types of things.
This year, as in most recent years, the majority of the books on the list were written for younger readers, which is predictable, says LaRue, since the vast majority of complaints about books come from parents.
Most of the books, the parents have children between the ages of 4 and 6 or 14 and 16. And if you think about that, those are the ages in your life where you're going through these real shifts. Between 4 and 6, you're leaving home and you're going into daycare and preschool, and the parents lose some control. And between the ages of 14 and 16, it's really the end of childhood and the beginning of adulthood. And often what's going on is not so much a religious or a political conflict. It's really more about parents who are trying to protect their children from things they don't think they're ready to know yet.
These challenges are made all over the country, typically just one per book. But there are exceptions. The Harry Potter books were widely protested when they first appeared, though they are now generally seen as mainstream. And the most persistently banned book, now over a century old, is also an acclaimed literary classic.
Huckleberry Finn is the number one most frequently challenged book in America. But the reasons for it change. The original complaint, when it was first published, said this is not a serious book because it has too much colloquial language in it. And now, of course, one of the things that people complain about is precisely the language that's used, the N-word, to describe the best character in the book. So the political sensitivities and the sensitivity to the language change over time.
Huck's not in the top 10 this year, but another book that has an even longer history of controversies around it is. That would be the Bible. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.